Hello and welcome to the first official episode of the Irish Bookkeeping and Payroll Podcast with me, Neilson Denver. After two pilot episodes, just to iron out the bugs, this is officially episode one. And we're here to talk about bookkeeping and payroll as it applies to small businesses in Ireland, the businesses that are the real backbone of Irish industry. All things here are practical and real-life bookkeeping and payroll items you face every day. We also talk about what's new from the Revenue Commissioners and any computer and software items that may affect you and your computers and your accounts and bookkeeping software, but nothing high tech. So, on with the show. The Revenue Commissioners have not released anything exciting recently in their e-briefs, but all indications are that we are getting closer to the stage where all tax filings will have to be done online. So, they've reached phase two of this mission, and the companies that the criteria that for the companies, the criteria for the companies that this falls into now for phase two are those with a turnover greater than 7.3 million and a number of employees greater than 50. This really means large companies. But if you have not signed up for the Revenue Online Service, the ROS, yet, do so by going to www.revenue.ie and sign up and register. It's free, it's easy to register, and the website is very easy to use, and someday you're going to have to sign up, so why not now? On the computer software front, Adobe Reader has been updated. This is the thing that reads your PDFs, if you don't realise what PDFs are, portable document format, but you probably have a lot of stuff in PDFs. You should now be on version 9.3. Now go to www.adobe.com, that's A-D-O-B-E, adobe.com. Look for the download logo for Adobe Reader, and then click on and download it and run the program. It'll automatically remove the old version you have installed and install this new version. It is really, really important for both security and to prevent your computer being infected by a virus, Trojan, or other malware that you run this update. And it'll also let you open and read PDFs created by newer software. Sometimes when you try to open a PDF, it says, oh, can't do anything with this. It's not a proper PDF. You're probably using an old version like 5, 6 or 7 which came with your computer or some other piece of software installed. So make sure you're on 9.3. Now there's also a very important Windows update for Internet Explorer. The recent Google and China incident was linked to this bug, and this update fixes it. So running Windows update and install any updates you see if you've not already been asked to do so by your computer. And again, make sure automatic updates is turned on your computer so that anything like this is automatically installed. Now, this week's topic is VAT. We're going to talk about things like who should and who should not register, the VAT rates that were out there at the moment, and the options and methods you can choose to make VAT filing easier for you and your, and most importantly, your cash flow. So what is VAT? Well, it stands for Value Added Tax, and there's actually a meaning in the name, but we're not going to talk about it because that's not really that interesting. But what we will talk about is more relevant, like who has to register for VAT. Unless you're in a VAT exempt, that's a not zero VAT industry, you must register for VAT. The Revenue Commissioners have on their website a list of 7 items that indicate whether you must register for VAT or not. But the two most important ones are, the two most common ones is, if you sell more than 37,500 in services per year. So now that's if you invoice 37,500 euros in a year in services, you have to register for VAT. Or if you sell more than 75,000 euros worth of goods per year, that's you invoice out 75,000 euros worth or more, you must register for VAT. Now there's other ones if you don't fall into that criteria, and they're all linked to around the 75,000 euro amounts of money. There'll be a link on the website to the full 7. Now, if you don't meet either of these thresholds or any of the other thresholds, you can still register for VAT. And this can be useful if you're spending a lot when starting up your business, and you can claim back all the VAT that you've been charged by your supplier. So like if you're fitting out a shop, you might need to be a lot of VAT involved in all the work and all the bits and pieces that need to go into it. So you want to get out there, register for VAT and claim VAT, and make sure you register for VAT before you start buying lots of stuff. And if you are selling to other registered businesses and you're below the limits, well, they can claim the VAT that you charge. So it's the net price excluding VAT that is the true cost to them. So you can register and bill them, and there's no big effect. Now, if you're selling to the ordinary Joe Soap, just retail, well, VAT could affect you. So if you're competing with people who aren't charging VAT and there's no need for you to register VAT, well, then think twice about that. The other thing about VAT is that it takes time to administer. And by not being registered for VAT, you can save a lot of time on administration time. Ask anyone who is VAT registered. VAT itself, just to note, is different from VIES, which is the VAT Information Exchange System, or Intrastat, which is all to do with statistics. These are linked but separate, and we're not going to talk about VAT or Intrastat today, just to stick those two words out there so that you're familiar with them. The VAT return itself is called a VAT3, and only the VAT amounts of transactions are recorded on this. There is also an annual RTD form where you will list all the net amounts of the purchases and sales you make during the year. So if you add the net on this and the VAT on your VAT3, you'll get your gross sales and purchases. So you need to record both VAT on purchases and sales and the net amounts as well. You can't just get away with recording one or the other. Some people confuse zero VAT and what is VAT exempt. There is a difference. Your local GP doctor is VAT exempt. They can't charge VAT or claim VAT back. But bread is 0% rated. That is, you charge VAT at 0%, which is zero in the end. So in the case of a baker, they're charging bread out at 0%, but if they buy in anything with VAT on it, they can claim it back. But again, VAT exempt can't claim it back, but zero rated can. So it's important you make sure that if your industry is exempt, well, you don't need to register for VAT, but you can't claim it back at any stage. While if your business is 0% rated, you can claim back VAT. Very, very important. Make you uncompetitive if you're in a business where you can charge zero but could claim the VAT back. So when you're completing your annual RTD form, make sure you fill in the 0% purchases and exempt purchases in the correct boxes, because there's two different boxes for them. On the annual RTD form, the home 0% box means anything you bought in Ireland with 0% VAT rate charged on it. The 21.5% box includes everything you bought in Ireland and, very important this is, all those items you imported where the VAT rate would have been charged at 21% had you bought the goods in Ireland. So this includes EU imports and non-EU imports. So it's important that you should be analysing imports from the EU and on non-EU using separate VAT codes and separate columns, whether you're doing it manual or computerized, but you need to be able to separate out the EU purchases, the Irish home purchases, and the non-EU purchases. Whatever way your system works, make sure you can see the differences. The VAT3, that's your normal VAT return, also has boxes that need to be filled out showing all sales to EU countries and all purchases from EU countries. So again, it's important to make sure that you're able to analyse all this information to put it on your VAT return. The online version and paper versions are very similar in layout. So if you go to the Ross on the Revenues Online service and you fill in your return online, you'll see it's very similar to the paper version. The advantage of the online one is that it actually calculates the VAT. So there's no totalling errors. So if you put in the sales VAT, the purchases VAT, hit calculate, it says, here's how much you owe us. Now, if you are on the annual VAT3 filing routine, those people who are on this, you'll know you're not sending in returns during the year, just this once. And if you're paying by the direct debit and your VAT year end, for example, is December 2009, then it is the direct debits starting from February 2009 and ending in January 2010 that are the amounts to be taken as paid for your VAT liability. January 2009 is not to be included. Why is this? Because you're always paying 1 month in arrears. If you paid your VAT return every 2 months, it's paid on the 19th of the third month. They give you 19 days credit. Very nice of them. And you pay your VAT, and so it is with this annual VAT return. So just remember, it's February of 1 year to January of the next year. So the January 2010 payment is the last payment for the January 2009 to December 2009 VAT period. The annual VAT return is one of a number of options to pay your VAT. Now, by the way, if your direct debits are less than 80% of the amount of your VAT liability, or if any of your direct debits bounce, you could actually lose your annual return facility and be forced back to the standard bi-monthly, that's every 2 months VAT return, with payments due every 2 months. Now, at least file the return to avoid the Revenue Commissioner estimates, and these are based, these estimates are usually based on what your VAT was in the good time, so file them so they're not sending you these exorbitant estimates. And paying annually, make sure you have paid within 80% of your final liability with your direct debits to avoid interest and the possibility that you lose your annual basis method of filing. So make a pay up a top up payment if necessary before the year end. And by the way, it's, you need to have, if you're doing it on for PAYE on the annual basis, it's 90%, but that's for a different podcast. So as we were saying, the annual return is one option to pay your VAT, but there's other options for VAT as follows. You can file a return every 6 months, so you can file from January to June, that's the first one, and then the second one is from July to December. But in this one, this case, there's some qualifications. That is, your VAT liability for the year, that's your sales VAT less purchases VAT, must not exceed 3,000. So realistically, this is for very small businesses. Now, if your annual VAT liability is between 3,001 and 14,400 euros, you can file a VAT return every 4 months. That's January to April, May to August, and September to December. Now, if your VAT liability exceeds 14,400 per annum, then you're on this bi-monthly, every 2 months VAT returns. While the 6 month and 4 month schemes sound great for cash flow, that is, you get 6 months, nearly 7 months, because you pay by the 19th of the next after the 6 months, you're still going to have to pay this VAT liability. And as most small businesses I know, the mad rush is in month six trying to get all the purchases, but really month seven, trying to get all the missing purchase invoices and to claim as much VAT as possible. And this, it does require discipline also to manage your cash and keep all your filing up to date, because you think you have money and then suddenly after 6 months you say, oh, I'm going to have to pay the VAT. Where's all that money gone? So while it's nice from a cash flow perspective, make sure you have the cash there. I prefer the bi-monthly as it keeps me on my toes and forces me to have all my paperwork correct. And if I do fall behind, the worst thing that will happen is that I have to claim it in the next 2 months. Now, it's not as good as for cash flow, but in one way it's good in that it keeps you disciplined. Now, if you forget or are missing something when doing your first 6 months VAT return, if you're on the 6 months basis, it's going to be another 6 months before you can claim back whatever you missed. And similarly, with the 4 month VAT return, you have to wait another 4 months if you left something out. So it'll be the following 4 months. So while you might be getting something good by delaying payment of VAT for a while, if you do leave something out, well, you're going to lose big time on that. And the longer you're unaware that you're missing a purchase invoice, of course, is the harder it is to try and get a copy of that invoice. Ever try and go back to a supplier and say, can I have a 6 month old invoice? Some people, no problem getting it from them, but others, not so good. So you can lose out. So just on the 4 month and 6 month, it is a nice handy system, but again, you need to be disciplined. Make sure you have everything every month. Don't just wait till the 6 months is up and say, now I better go and look for stuff. Now, just add a bit more into the mix. You can actually pay a VAT not on sales invoices, but based on the monies you receive. So when you get paid, that's the only time you have to hand over the VAT. Now, this is another great method for improving your cash flow, because if you're invoicing out, it can be 30, 60, 90 days before you get paid, but you could have paid out the VAT before you actually get paid. So in this case, you don't pay out the VAT until you get paid. Now, it can be a nightmare for administering, so make sure that if you're going to go on the cash receipts basis, you have a good system in place, because if you don't match the cash coming in correctly with the correct invoices, you could get your VAT very, very wrong. Now, if your turnover is less than 1 million euros per year, you can apply. Now, you must apply to the revenue commissioners and get permission to use the cash receipts basis. You can't just start using it. So when you're registering for VAT, do it then. Or if you're in business, apply first and then implement. You need permission. But if you're starting up in business, look at the cash basis. But again, it takes a bit of administering, and again, your cash flow, good for it, but you need to manage your cash flow, because when that money comes in, you're going to be paying it back out. One fifth of it, if you're on 21% approximately, will go out and need to be going back out in VAT. Now, just some of the criteria for getting on the cash basis: either your annual turnover does not exceed 1 million, and your supplies are almost exclusively, that's at least 90%, are made to customers who are not registered for VAT, so maybe in the retail end of it. In practice, the cash basis of accounting is mainly used by shops, restaurants, public houses and similar businesses, and by any person making supplies of goods or services directly to the public. Now, it's important to note the following points. A person on the cash basis is nonetheless required to issue a VAT invoice when a customer is registered for VAT. The cash basis cannot be used where the trader and the customer are connected parties. The cash basis cannot be used for construction services supplied by a subcontractor to a principal contractor. In the event of a change in the rates of VAT, a business operating on the cash basis must apply the VAT rate by reference to the time that the goods or services were actually supplied, and not the time when the payment was received, if this is later. And this is important at the moment now, because we're after dropping back down from 21.5 to 21. So if you're on a cash receipts basis, anything invoiced in December would have been at 21.5. You're receiving the money in January. It's not the new rate of 21 that applies, it's the rate at the time the invoice was raised, which was 21.5. A person or business applying for VAT registration who wishes to use the cash basis rather than the invoice basis must also apply at the time of registration in writing for permission. Alternatively, application may be made to the local revenue district subsequently, again in writing, to change from the invoice basis to the cash basis. And again, I'll have a link on the website, because some of that, the wording you may have recognised, is actually from the website, the Revenue Commissioner's website. But I put on my own website here now, the podcast website, where you can get more information details. They have an information leaflet on monies received basis of accounting. And as it says, if you're accounting on the invoice basis for VAT, and you want to change, yes, with some restrictions, and with one important criteria, that your turnover cannot exceed 1 million euros. So that's a little bit of explanation on VAT and VAT registration and the VAT return. Now, that's it for this week. There are links in the show notes to all the stuff there, the Revenue Commissioner's website, where you can find out more information on VAT. We will have future shows on VAT, what you can and can't claim, the two-thirds rule, selling to the EU and non-EU customers, and what to charge, and loads more. So that's not a big area, so we'll get there week by week. Now, if you've had any questions about this or any other bookkeeping or payroll items or items you want to hear about on this podcast, please email me at bookkeepingpodcast@gmail.com. That's bookkeepingpodcast@gmail.com. This is Nielsen signing off. Thank you for listening to the Irish Bookkeeping and Payroll Podcast.